Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelor Winter Games Wrap-Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing?
I'm good. It's weird to be talking to you on a Sunday. Usually it's like Monday or Tuesday nights is our date, and here we are right before the Monday of a long weekend chatting about Bachelor Winter Games, which we are excited about?
I think so.
Yeah.
We're excited about our guests. Do you want to introduce them?
Yeah, of course. So we're really excited to have my good friend, Akiva Winokur, on the podcast. For a little background for you guys who may not have heard him before, he does the Seinfeld podcast over on Post Show Recaps with Rob Sestrinino. He's covered the Olympics with me a couple times. And so we thought it would be really funny if we brought Akiva on, who just does not watch The Bachelor. If we brought him on to talk about Winter Games, because he does know about the Olympics. So we thought this could be a good, easy way to get him in here, because there's quite a few people on the show that we don't even know. So we'd all be on pretty even ground here. Akiva, how are you doing?
Guys, thanks for having me. What if I like blew you away with my Bachelor knowledge? I never told you I don't watch it. I don't live tweet it.
Yeah, I mean, if you told me you had written a 10,000-word article on The Bachelor, I also wouldn't be that surprised, to be honest with you.
I mean, I might. You might make me like, I'm going to become your number one fan. I'm going to be like a super fan.
You weren't already my number one fan?
Binge, yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to go back and binge every season, and like, don't spoil me on like who's married and who's divorced.
Okay, we won't. Right. Also, I would recommend you not doing that, because that would be a lot. That would be a slog, and I already feel bad enough for your wife that I made you watch 4 hours of this.
4 hours? Yeah, when you asked me, I thought it was like an hour or maybe two. Because Amy, the last time I had Haley on I have a sports podcast, mm-hmm. and I had Haley on like 6 months ago, a year ago, and for that podcast, like I bought her we like ranked every chocolate bar in the world, and I just like bought her 20 candy bars, and that was that was her invitation, and for her it's like, ooh, like here's the home and home, come on my podcast, and you have to watch 4 hours of the show that like I'm not sure what it is, like maybe you're the Olympics expert, maybe it has to do with the Olympics, but really it's just The Bachelor. Like I we're not even right now, Haley. We're doing another food test, but you're eating like sardines.
That's fine by me. I just thought it would be hilarious, and you know what, I think I was correct here. I think this is going to be so hilarious that you're just like, what am I even watching? Why did I do this? But what I know about you is that you're just like an absolute glutton for punishment once you have your mind set on something. So once I was like, hey, do you want to come on this podcast about Bachelor Winter Games? It's not like I forced you to do this. Like, audience, don't get that wrong. I was like, hey, are you interested in doing this? I know it's not really up your alley, but like, I think it would be fun. And you're like, yeah, why don't I binge everything? You didn't till now on this podcast, but I could see you doing that.
Well, it's not like this is season 8 of Bachelor Winter Games. Also, I don't have to go back to like the Sochi Olympics and like see what they had there. So I don't know like where this is like canonically Bachelor. I don't even know like where this fits in the scheme of the Bachelorverse.
It's brand new.
It's absolutely part of the Bachelor universe, just as much as Bachelor Pad and Bachelor in Paradise are. And see, you said that this wasn't like a totally fair home and home, but I could have had you on the second week of this podcast where you would have had to watch 8 hours of this show. So I was pretty easy on you.
They're doing 4 episodes next week?
2 episodes. So you would have had to watch these two and then.
Oh, yeah. I'm dumb. I like a lot of the audience probably doesn't know me. They should know like, yeah, that should have been obvious.
It's okay. You're really distracted by how many women there are on the show.
Yeah. Also, it's where I'm recording now. It's 1 a.m. So anything bad I say, like, don't get too mad.
Oh, okay. Well, I would love to just get your initial take, Akiva, on you thought this was, where the overlap you saw with the Olympics, because apparently that's where the inspiration was from. It's called The Bachelor Winter Games. You know, we start out with opening ceremony. So I'd just love to hear any questions you have for us about what you watched. See if we can help you.
Okay. I mean, to me, I didn't know like how much we would be focusing on the sports versus how much this would be basically a regular super fast, like a speedy version of The Bachelor. And just to give you, like, I have seen episodes of The Bachelor, so I'm not totally blind. I know who, what's the woman who has a babysitter? Like, she has her own nanny.
Oh, Corinne.
So I've seen episodes with Corinne. I saw a couple old school episodes. I wish I could say that my wife forced me to, but she's never seen an episode of the show and was so deeply humiliated. Like, she would have rathered when she walked into my office before and I had on like the argument about the hot tub. if she had come in and like on the screen would have been like me like professing my love to another woman, she would have vastly preferred that to what she walked in on.
Can you tell her that I'm deeply sorry about this? Yeah, like I'm no.
And plus she would have had half my money there and now she has less money because I'm not working and I'm watching The Bachelor. So I had no idea what to expect. I thought there would be more sports. I thought I was going to get mad at how sort of the sports were portrayed. But I think coming out of it, the show really just, because this is strictly to compete with the Winter Olympics, the show really is forcing the Winter Olympics, like the Winter Games aspect of, you know, into at us like as little as possible. If it was up to the producers, it would not even be in there. They just couldn't call it The Bachelor Winter Games. Like, what would the show be? But they're so deeply uninterested in the actual sports. Like, they were like, the first sport was well designed, the biathlon. They couldn't even call it the biathlon. I think they didn't want to, you know, get the Olympics super mad at them. So they called it like the Nordic skiing or something. But that was the biathlon. It was actually pretty well done from like a production standpoint. But by episode two already, like with the speed skating, They decided that the losers are actually the winners. Like, they're already out of ideas.
Yeah, that's how you can tell they really don't care.
Like, what's next week going to be? Like, luge? Like, we're almost out of sports that are realistic. Like, they're
I think they might actually be doing luge or bobsled. I can't remember.
But it's not going to be real. It's going to be like down a snowy hill. It's not.
Yeah, and the last sport they're doing is figure skating. So that should be interesting.
That makes sense. I mean, no one can actually do figure skating. Like, no one can actually do a jump, but maybe ice dancing or something they could pull off.
Were you impressed by the athletic ability of any of these people?
Not really, but it's also hard to judge. Like, I have skied. I don't know if you guys are skiers, but definitely when I was a kid, that was like this was actually this is President's Weekend coming up. Not for you, Haley.
Family Day weekend. Thank you.
But Amy, you're American, right?
Yes.
So I, you know, this was like the big weekend where my mom and my sister and I would go skiing every year. So, I mean, I haven't done it in like 15 years, but I was a big skier. Skiing is really hard for beginners. So I'm not going to hate on any of those people. No one was like especially good. I was also really not, I thought I would be only invested in the sports and it was the only thing I was not invested in at all.
Can I tell you guys my only skiing story? So one spring break, I went to my friend's house in Calgary and they had a condo in Idaho near Schweitzer Mountain. I think that's what it's called. Anyway, so I had never been skiing before and her mom was like, hey, we'll like do a lesson for you and you can rent the skis or whatever. The boots were too tight and I have a really low pain tolerance and it made me nauseated. And I had to get my skiing guide to take my skis off so I can run over to the side of the mountain because I thought I was going to throw up. I didn't end up throwing up. And then I just walked down the mountain. The skiing instructor was clearly unimpressed with like just my existence. And we went up the ski lift, which was my favorite part, surprisingly, because I don't like heights. And then he made me do some pizza and french fries down the hill where literal children were zooming by me. Mm. So I never skied again. And I probably never will.
Yeah, I don't have much experience either, but maybe a little bit more than that. But I think I stopped around age 12.
Amy, did you know that Haley was on a high school curling team? Speaking of winter sports,
I did not.
Been keeping her high school that for had me. A curling team, and she was on it.
Wow!
I also did softball and ultimate frisbee, so pretty great at sports here.
Wow. That was an official team, ultimate frisbee in high school.
It was. So I killed it. So the Bachelor Winter Games is taking place in Vermont. One of our listeners was actually at the parade. Ooh. I want to say her name is Casey and Casey or non-Casey. I'm so sorry that I can't remember it completely clearly. I went on a wine tour this afternoon. So, ooh, a little sketchy on all details here. But she got a picture with Chris Harrison. So she was there in Vermont. I think it's called the Hermitage Club, which is like some super upscale skiing club. Not for me. And I'm surprised they signed this contract based on like how many people were going to be making out all over their really upscale club. But to each their own, I guess. From the people, God, what's this called? The parade. Yes. Who really interested you? Akiva and then Amy.
I mean, I have like little notes about everybody because, again, I don't know a single person coming in here. Mm-hmm. So like if you guys want to talk about specific people, I'll tell you if I have any thoughts on them. Okay. It was interesting, like, but my overall like thesis statement about the parade and for the next 4 hours of the show is that like clearly the Americans are like the key components here. And by that, I mean, mostly, I mean, like the Anglos, like from, and I say this not just because Haley's here, like to an American, like there's no difference between an American and a Canadian. Like they're not, you know, like we're not less interested in them. But I think once you get into the accents, the Bachelor is like, oh, no, we don't want Middle America like worrying about them. And they were just like getting rid of them through these two.
There's some cannon fodder is what you're saying.
The cannon fodder is. Well, you have a few problems. One of them is that some of the...
Just a few? Because I feel like any human rights group would have a lot of issues with what went on during these episodes, but...
Right. Well, with some of the problem... Well, one of the like real inherent problems having the international team is that they had a bunch of people whose English was either non-existent or they're playing it up to be non-existent. Or, you know, or it's mm-hmm. or it's subpar. And also, like, if we're trying to have these like rapid fire relationships, it's not real. Like, if I'm a guy in the house and I have a choice between, you know, women I relatively equally like and one is from Los Angeles and one lives in Helsinki, Finland. Like, it, you know, there's a practical, you know, like if we're actually trying to like make some couples out of this, it's not realistic that I'm going to start dating someone who lives, you know, like an 11-hour plane ride or something.
Exactly. Yeah, there was definitely, we were definitely stacked with who was cast from the US and just kind of who we were shown get airtime as well with certain of the international contestants. I know, Haley, you and I, we had talked about some of the people who were cast from the US seasons we were a little surprised about, such as Michael G and Jamie, who I think got. Not even a soundbite on episode one. So that they did throw in a few American cannon fodder contestants as well, just to get, I think for this first episode.
I'm looking at Jamie and I like, and it says Rachel season and I cannot place him whatsoever. His face is just like nothing to me.
I think he was a night one casualty. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I truly look at him like, I don't know, like Michael, I remember, because he was Desiree season, right?
Yeah, and he's on Bachelor in Paradise.
Michael is too old. My note was like, he's too old for this, and like, he's the only person there who's not good looking, basically.
Yeah, he's definitely the oldest at 37. There's actually quite a few people in their 30s here. Mm-hmm. It's a definitely skews older than your typical Bachelor season would. We only have a couple people like in their 20s, Dean and Yuki being some of them.
Yeah,
and go for it.
Courtney. And who's he paired up with? Because she's like 21. Lily or something?
Yeah.
Lily's 21. Yeah. And the back tattoo, Allie, is 24.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. And it seems like
all the non-Americans. That's all like there's a lot of the you know, Australian, New Zealand types. And they're the young ones. Mostly.
Yes. Yes. And it seems like all the focus is on kind of those key people that we've seen get a lot of airtime on past seasons, the American contestants and who they're paired up with, because like Courtney and Allie are both international. They didn't really show them that much in their relationship. So I think there's definitely a little favoritism going on. Mm-hmm. And I think they wanted certain people to last the whole four episodes and other people they were fine with leaving. So
can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Not on our podcast. No, I'm just kidding. Go for it.
I mean, I think like because I don't know anything about this, and I like in life, I am not into conspiracy theories, but on reality TV, I'm here for any conspiracy theory. Like, I assume everything is manipulated by producers Survivor and in Big Brother and you know, certainly on The Bachelor. Do you like how much how much say do you guys think or know that production has on a lot of these decisions?
Well, in The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, in the first few weeks, the producers, you know, sit down with the lead and definitely say, since we have so many roses to give away, you know, there's 30 people right here. You have 21 roses. Here are some people we'd like you to pick. And here are some. And then obviously the lead gets to pick people who they genuinely like. But
granted, they won't admit it, but it's just very obvious in terms of who stays. It's always someone causing the most drama. Someone that everyone hates in the house is the last person called at a rose ceremony. And we call that the producer rose. So we're definitely here for those kind of.
Well, who has the producer? It looks like Yuki's the only person who really has a producer rose going so far.
Yeah, I could see that. And Yuki's an interesting person on the show. She is the only one who it seems speaks just like very, very little English. And I have a bit of concern with them almost treating her as a cartoon character.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I feel like that is something that happens to a lot of Asian women on television and, you know, things like this. And it's kind of uncomfortable. Yuki is clearly a very, like, bubbly, interesting person on her own. But the fact that there's this language barrier, I think they're playing up a little too much. Like, she clearly has a translator. Like, that's a given. Like, they're not going to throw her down the mountain in skis and without a translator trying to tell her actually, you know, what she should be doing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So obviously Yuki's a lot of fun and clearly the people in the house love her, but I don't love the idea that she's a big character because she can't speak English.
If you saw the post credits from the second episode, her English is a little better than they're making out. Like, she knew the words omelet. Like, they made it seem at the beginning that she speaks zero words of English, whereas clearly that's not the case. She knew sugar. She knew salt. She knew omelet. Like, every kitchen-related word she knew.
Yeah,
ketchup, which I think, like, I was just on her Instagram. It looks like she's a big ketchup person.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of ketchup.
I know exactly what picture content. You're talking about.
But I agree. It felt very out of the 90s, and I don't want to say surprised, but I'm disappointed. I feel like it's the type of thing that you thought would, like, you would see it on a show you're rewatching from like 1994, but it's weird that they went for such a stereotype for Yuki, who's also like one of the, like, the three or four, like, prettiest girls in the house.
She's like stunning, and she's I love, like, this sounds weird, 10 years but I younger love to look at her face. Yeah, she's 21. Like, she's so young. And another thing is that in the first night, we lost five people, and three out of those five were minorities, which also wasn't a great look for a show that often struggles with minority representation. I also didn't like that they voted them off. Like, I would have preferred if everyone just stayed the entire time. That's kind of what I was hoping would happen. And I don't know if I was being naive in believing that what would happen, and there wouldn't be a vote.
Like, no consistency, because we had the vote off the first night, and then we had back to guys handing out roses. So who knows what, you know, week three is going to be, or episode three is going to be.
Well, they're just like going based on, first of all, they did have a little bit of a curveball maybe, because Benoit quits. We don't know when that happened. Like, that may have thrown their plan A out the window, because now they have two more women than men, two more men than women. And I think if anything, they probably wanted the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that may have thrown that plan out, but I agree. Like, it does seem like there's no rhyme or reason. How many more episodes are there? There's only two more episodes.
We're halfway through
this
season.
22 people left. Like, how, we don't know. Do we know what the winner gets? Do we know how to win? Like, we don't know any of these things.
Well, in Bachelor in Paradise, the winning is getting engaged at the end, and I feel like that's the closest show I can compare it to. It's just like this in the summer, but even that is a lot more relationship focused. So I don't know if there's, Haley, what do you think? Is there like someone, they said like there's going to be like a king and queen of the Winter Games, right?
Yeah. So what I would assume happens is next, the third episode, we see the women handing out the roses. And then in the fourth episode, we don't see anyone technically go home. We see this figure skating date where each couple who is like a strong couple gets together and they do their routine. Whoever wins, that's the king and queen, and they live happily ever after, whatever. But it's really hard for us to predict these things because I feel like it changes all the time what the rules of the game are. And so obviously they borrow elements from Bachelor Pad because the vote off in the first episode was very much how they did it in Bachelor Pad. And we see the Bachelor in Paradise stuff, and it's just, I don't even know what to think or what to believe is going to happen.
Right. Well, and like the Olympics, we do see, you know, in the Olympics, we get invested in certain people's stories more than others. More care, certain people are giving their backstory and who we kind of want to root for. So Akiva, I'd be interested in hearing who, if anyone, you're invested in based on what you've been shown.
Well, I'll just tell you, like, let me tell you my brief thoughts on some of the people, like when I first met them, just that I jotted down.
Mm-hmm.
So Ben Higgins, I feel like I've heard of. He was like a bigger deal than I think anybody else in the house, right? Because he was actually the Bachelor.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, I think everyone else here was just a contestant on Bachelor or Bachelorette. Are there people
except
who are
Jordan,
just,
who came in on the second night from Australia, New Zealand. New he Zealand. Came in from New Zealand.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. He was the Bachelor in New Zealand. Correct. And
yeah,
do we
where
think
he flipped a coin to pick his final person.
Do we think he actually had visa issues, which definitely happens to non-Americans trying to get into America for, like, you know, if they're not, you know, super important. And, you know, if they're doing it on, you know, maybe the show might have only been cast a week in advance. Or do we think it was done to, like, stir up episode two drama?
I would accept the fact that he had visa issues, but it was just, like, convenient that he was going to be a little bit of a pot stirrer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Josiah, I wrote down, like, he seems a little bit too normal. He seems like the type of guy who'd be on MTV's The Challenge. Like, he's a lawyer. He's a little bit, he looks like he has his stuff a little bit too together to be on this show.
So how he got on The Bachelor and Bachelorette was Rachel was his lead. And Rachel was his camp counselor when they were younger.
That was Fred.
Oh, fuck. Sorry.
No, Josiah. Do you remember Josiah was the one?
No, I don't then.
Okay, yeah. He was the one who was, like, really strong out the gate because he was the lawyer and she's a lawyer and they seemed to connect, but then he just got really arrogant early on. Like, he won the spelling bee and he was, like, kissing the trophy, and so I think he just started, like, rub people the wrong way after that. But
right
early on, okay, it was, well, like, then he came from, like, a troubled background and went, like, I think he worked for the judge who helped him through, you know, something when he was younger,
right? Oh, so, okay
yeah,
I had it so convinced, like, yeah, why wouldn't they bring on the guy who Rachel was a camp counselor for? Sorry, everyone. God. He seems a little bit too, like, what are you doing here? Like, you should be able to find a date. You're a hot lawyer. But I think in the first episode, it was kind of clear why he can't find a date, is that he's just kind of, like, a little weird. And it seems like he's not a fan favorite in the house. He was the only one who had, like, a legitimate relationship in the house going on, and was, like, people were still questioning if he was there for the right reasons.
Yeah, he could have gotten voted out.
Yeah, I don't think we're, you know, Allie. I mean, Allie, they made her seem like she's going to be, like, this big character, but we didn't get that much of her in these two episodes. You know, we, the only thing we really know about her is that she, you know, she's got this, what was the tattoo she has?
I have no idea.
They were talking about her tattoo that's on her, sloth tattoo on her behind.
Oh, right. My God, that's amazing.
That's what it was.
I need a sloth tattoo.
Did you feel, Haley, and I, Amy, are you a sports person also?
I'm more casual. I'm not as.
Okay, but yeah. Are you familiar with Hannah Storm before this episode?
Yes.
Don't you feel bad? Like, at this point, Hannah Storm's Wikipedia reads, like, Hannah's covered Hurricane Katrina, the Iraq War, and now the Bachelor Winter Game.
Right.
Like, this was, and like, they have
it. Must have
to
just
make
been such like an easy paycheck for her.
Yeah, and again, she's ESPN, ABC, same company. I get it. I do, like, she could recover from this, but I feel like it might be a tiny bit beneath her.
Right.
But she seemed like a pretty big fan. Like, they were trying to make it seem like she was, basically like. Such a super fan that she knew the international people, like, as if they don't have a team of 12 researchers, you know, right, feeding this stuff. But she's probably, like, at least an American Bachelor fan. They also have, like, a sideline reporter. My only note on her is that she doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. But maybe this will get her the Wikipedia
page. She seemed really unnecessary. I don't know.
Yeah, very unnecessary. Like, Chris is commentating on the event. Like, I'm not sure exactly what she's there. She can't like break the third wall and actually like interview the people. So it doesn't really make sense.
Right. First of all, this is in these two episodes, this is the most we've seen Chris Harrison, probably about four seasons of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. We do see him more on Bachelor in Paradise, but like we've seen him for maybe a minute an episode the last four seasons. And something interesting they did during the parade when they're introducing every contestant was like show a clip from the person's original season around the world. And my favorite part about that was the non-English language ones. They didn't give subtitles. They were just like, yeah, you can glean the context from this. They're breaking up. That's just, this is what happens on every season of The Bachelor. You
right, but I want them to see the like Yuki. Like you'd imagine that if they're picking one person from Sweden and one person from Japan, and these shows have all had like five seasons, that they're picking a real superstar, you know? And I wanted to see like the crazy thing they did, you know, like, you know, throw water in somebody's face or something. Not like the generic, like we're breaking up in front of a plane. Like they break up with each other outside the United States in much cooler places than like inside the mansion. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see more of that. And again, like, yes, they didn't pay someone to sub. It was like,
yeah, how hard would that be? Just contract it out. So
they like find someone who speaks Japanese to like put the subtitles there. The weirdest subtitles of the episode is when the French Canadian fellow
Benoit
decided to leave.
Mon ami Benoit.
Did you see that? They subtitled him like what did he say? Like it's okay, and they gave him like five E's for the it's okay.
I had some really bad Bachelor PTSD when I was hearing it's okay and it's not okay, it's not okay. I was like, oh god, no. Because yes. We saw that in Juan Pablo's season, he told all of his women it's okay, and at one point Andy, who ended up being the Bachelorette, was like, no, it's not okay. And then she named her New York Times bestselling book It's Not Okay. So
I felt like Claire was trying to relive that moment, Haley.
Yeah, and I was like, Claire, no, this isn't for you. Or was that with Christian or was it with Benoit? Like, I can't remember between the two.
Well, if it was subtitled with Benoit, as Akiva was saying, it must have been with Benoit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's why they subtitle it, is for that throwback from that season
probably
5 years ago. It could be.
I was not going to lie, pretty sad to lose Benoit, partially because he's Canadian and I want my Canadians to represent, as you say, on this show. By the way, this whole Bachelor Winter Games is just going to be a parade of my accents from around the globe. So sorry about that, everyone. Wait till you hear my Australian. It's horrific. And he was such like a great character the first two episodes. I was like, no, Benoit, like, don't leave. Like, just stay and hold hands with someone else. Like,
there's no reason
fine,
to
but she's not that great.
Off. Yeah, that was odd.
And then 15 minutes later, Claire, like, broke up with Benoit and then, like, had the weirdest possible conversation with Christian. Akiva, what would you do if you had planned to meet somebody in the hot tub at a certain time and then they didn't show up because they were hanging out in a bathtub with their friend?
Yeah, no, in Germany, I know jacuzzi etiquette is extremely important. If you say you're going to be in the jacuzzi, you better be in that jacuzzi.
But what if the jacuzzi is full?
Yeah, I don't even know what that meant. Like, Claire got more airtime than everyone else combined. Like this love triangle. Which, I mean, how long do you think it's been at the end of episode two? Like less than a week, probably.
I would say max 7 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it could be much less. It might be 2 days or something.
I would be surprised if this whole thing lasted longer than 20 days. Like the whole.
Oh, I don't even think it was close. I don't know anything about the show, but if it's only four episodes, I'd be shocked if they had that much.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Time and a half.
2 weeks max.
You'd be talking 10 days. Mm-hmm. So Claire, I don't know. Like you guys could tell me more about her like before this, but. First of all, she is, like she said, she retired. She's sort of at the end of the line here. She's 36 years old. Mm-hmm. This is like her last chance at love ever because you can't find love off the TV show.
No.
I get why she's on the show. She's definitely not like, I find it hard to root for her. I don't know. Like, I find her compelling, but I'm not like a fan of hers. She seems like a little desperate. And also like she's getting into this 8 hour long argument with the German guy, and who, by the way, like I can't tell if he's insanely condescending or if it's just the accent. his it's scary when he says, you know, like there's certain things he says, like, wow, that's like, you know, he's like going over the line here. He's known this woman for 2 days and he's like not speaking in an appropriate tone. But then I think, right. Like, no, I think he's just like, That's just how he sounds.
He's just German.
And Swiss. He's German and Swiss. He's from the German and the Swiss bachelor. Yeah. 2 seasons, 2 countries.
I guess that's the benefit of having an EU membership.
That's right. You could be on any bachelor. That's true. He could go in like Poland next
time. Yeah.
It's too bad that Great Britain, you know, Brexited, or else he could have, you know, yeah, that was the limit for him. But yeah, Christian's interesting. I thought that was one of like the more real scenes I've seen in a Bachelor episode. The first conversation that Christian and Claire have, it's not totally clear what they're arguing about. Like, but I think like Christian doesn't like, he's not willing to kiss her because she kissed Benoit. But it's like a weird kind of, like, I don't know. Did you like, what do you guys think about those conversations? They gave them like 40 minutes of airtime for those two conversations.
The whole second episode was just Claire. Yeah, you're definitely right about that. Claire with like a scooch of speed skating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying about Claire. Like, I know Haley and I, we've enjoyed her on the Bachelor in Paradise seasons, but I don't know if we're necessarily rooting for her, because it doesn't seem like she ever learns from her lessons of the past. And
what's her deal? Like, what is her job?
She's a hairstylist.
Is she?
Okay. Is she successful? Is she a successful hairstylist?
I'm not sure. That's just what they tell us. And she was
how many cats does Claire have?
Two at least. No, okay. She probably has tiny dogs. She probably has like three tiny dogs. So Claire was on Juan Pablo's season of The Bachelor, and he's known as probably like the worst bachelor ever. Amy and I look at him as probably one of the most hilarious bachelors ever, because
current guy stinks. Is he up there also?
He's just Harry? Boring. Juan Pablo was like a straight up asshole.
But you guys podcast about it, so wouldn't you rather?
Yeah, we would rather the straight up asshole.
Of course.
Claire told us that Juan Pablo, after their fantasy suite date, and I am directly quoting, this is not what I would say to anyone. Juan Pablo told Claire that, "I love fucking you," and Claire was upset about that.
And she told you that?
No, she told us that. She told everyone.
Oh, okay. I thought you guys have a relationship with these.
Do the
contestants on the show ever reach out to you guys because you have a podcast, or no?
We have one friend.
You have, of all the seasons, one. See, you know what's funny? I think it's a Bachelor thing, because I feel like the Top Chef, and you do Top Chef also. Yeah. I feel like half the Top Chefs who are like actually successful and have marketable skills and like, you know, are very talented people, I feel like they're all into it and reach out. And then the Bachelorette people, most of whom have like no discernible talent. That's funny. They're like above you guys. I feel like
there's like almost like maybe like a producer, like I think their contract scares them as well, because we will say things about the show, like we'll be suspect about producer involvement and things like that.
I don't think that's it. I mean, you're probably right, but I don't think that's why they're ignoring you. I think they're not the type of person who's cast on the show is not a big podcast listener.
The Bachelor gets a lot more viewers than say Top
Chef.
They just
can stay on Instagram. They don't need to branch out to podcasts.
Right, there are
so many Bachelor podcasts. Like there's just like an absurd amount of Bachelor podcasts, and there's like maybe sure. three.
There's
Top
only
Chef
one
ones.
Good one, but
you're talking.
Well, I was talking
right?
about what's her name on The Ringer.
I do love Julia Littman's podcast.
You love Julia. Does she still do a Bachelor? By the way, speaking of, her podcast was called The Right Reasons. They say it's not a stereotype. They say the word The Right Reasons every 5 minutes on the show. It's crazy.
Yeah, they need to drill it into your head that people need to be here for the right reasons. And
even
that's love and not Instagram sponsorship.
It wasn't just the Americans. He was saying Claire didn't kiss him for the right reasons.
Kiss me for the right reasons. And
they should have taught. They should have like gone around that first night and had like the Swedish contestant and the Chinese contestant and everybody like tell everyone how to say the right reasons in their respective language.
Yeah, I would love a t-shirt that just says right reasons in all the different languages. So
by the way, you should
print
that up. You guys sell t-shirts. You guys should do that.
No, we don't.
You're sitting on a gold mine here. I feel like
we're way too lazy for that. We just show up and talk.
Well, hey, you're way too lazy. Amy will do it.
Oh, God.
Well, back to Christian.
I would buy that shirt. I don't even watch The Bachelor. It said the right reasons in like 10 different languages. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Let's get on that.
Yeah. Somebody
I also wrote
Teespring
down.
Can help us.
Could we have a Bechdel test, but for non-Americans speaking to each other? Would we see two non-Americans have a conversation?
No, because the only people were the only couple that doesn't involve one American is Courtney and Allie. And we, like you said before, we see like almost nothing of them.
Right. But Courtney, they made a big deal. Courtney is first of all, it's a guy, and it's confusing that Courtney's a fellow.
That's true.
Courtney's from where? Australia, New Zealand?
Australia.
I'm actually amazed. I don't know how many seasons of the Canadian Bachelor there have been, that there's so many more Australians and New Zealanders, Kiwis, than Canadians. I think there's only one or two Canadians on the whole show. I figured
it would
be
like, I'm a little hurt, to be honest with you. There is 3 seasons of The Bachelor Canada and 1 season of The Bachelorette Canada. But Kevin and Benoit were both from the same season, so I feel like they could have branched out because they have actually
no women.
So
Kevin is like a generic, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he won a season. He's like a very good looking
fire. He did win a season.
Oh, he did? See, that's he's like, he's not super interesting, but he's like a very good looking. I mean, Canadian firefighter. I get it. Like, it's tough to beat that. I feel like he's a good looking guy and a firefighter.
Yeah, I feel like there's just something about hearing someone is Canadian. And if you're American, you're like, oh, a Canadian, like, they're going to treat me well. They're polite. Where Kevin was not my favorite person on that season. I did not like him. I mean, he was in the final 2, and I really wanted her, Jasmine, to pick Mikkel over what's his name? Kevin. I wanted her to pick the other guy over Kevin because I didn't like Kevin very much. And she picked Kevin, and they're engaged for about 5 months. And then that all
when he's
down
here in Bachelor and Winter Games. It was really just like 6 months ago.
Making out with Bibiana and then making out with Ashley I, which looked pretty similar. So clearly has a type, but neither of them really look like Jasmine, his former fiance. So, you know.
Right.
Do you guys think that the Leslie mastectomy sort of storyline was really shoehorned in?
Oh, definitely.
Yes. And I will say that Leslie is in my top 2 favorite contestants of all time. Her and Charlene are my absolute favorites. I love Leslie. I've been following Leslie on Instagram.
Charlene the teacher?
No, she was the opera singer.
Oh, I don't know her. Okay.
Who's that teacher?
I don't know. I'm sorry. You keep going.
Anyway, so like the Leslie mastectomy story is something I've actually been following for a while. And I'm glad that they addressed it on the TV show. But was it shoehorned in? Like, absolutely. And was it awkward with her talking to Dean about it? And he's like, I'm sure I would like them anyway. It's like, what the fuck, Dean? Who are you?
Yeah. Do we need to be like, oh, this is my... focus in on, this will be the first time someone sees them or something. It just seemed like.
And did he know what she was talking about? Like, we knew at home because she had already mentioned it. But like, did Dean know what she was talking about?
It's hard to say because Dean probably isn't the smartest dude around. And he hasn't been in the Bachelor world that long. Like, he was just on Rachel's season. So the fact that I would highly doubt that he even knew who Leslie was walking into that room. And she's very. She's, from what we've seen of Dean, like, I think Leslie is actually like a really good match for him. She would really whip him into shape because she's so headstrong and she knows what she wants and blah, blah, blah. She doesn't need Dean, but Dean like needs her. So the fact that they came together was really interesting to me, and I really like that pairing. She's been through a lot. She's been on her own for a while. She's really cool. She knows what she wants. And Dean, from what we've seen in the last like 6 months, does not know what he wants. In Bachelor in Paradise, he had a real hard time choosing between 2 women who are both like, you need to choose which one you want to continue dating. And in the end, he couldn't decide on either of them, so he got neither of them. So it's a very interesting pairing that I'm kind of excited to see what happens, and I think Leslie could actually be really good for him.
Were you guys surprised at how quickly some of these couples seem to form?
Yeah, I don't even like talk to people within like 3 weeks, never mind like make out with them. Like, if you love to make out with people on the night you meet them, like, have that, or I wish I had that skill. But it was just like very quick connections, and so I really understood where the Chinese woman was coming from. I feel what? Let me look through these pictures I have on the EW website and see.
Zoe.
So I really understood where Zoe was coming from. She comes from a culture where you don't move fast like that. And
right, they said in Chinese Bachelor, like, maybe the winner and loser would like kiss. And I got the feeling that's not even a makeout. That's like a you know, basically like a polite kiss. Like,
yeah, and that was
there's not a lot of hooking up on that show. That's basically,
yeah, that was saying. There's definitely no fantasy suites, and that was a similar sentiment that we got from Yuki. So I can understand like Zoe having a really tough time making connections quick, where in a culture that often physical connection comes before an emotional connection. Like, we saw Luke in the second episode saying that he couldn't believe him and Stassi hadn't even kissed yet. And they're already, like, having such deep conversations and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, what? Like, what's going on here?
Right. You just met. Yeah. I think that maybe the different styles and cultural differences between the different Bachelor seasons and countries may be affecting. Is that what you guys think was affecting Christian and why he was so upset about Claire and Benoit or didn't think he could move in on Claire?
No, because he's German and Swiss. I think it's the opposite. I think their Bachelor is, you know, I think it's, you know, probably makes the American Bachelor look prude, right?
Like, they have a much more laissez-faire attitude towards intercourse on their shows.
And we're stereotyping, but yes.
Yeah, like, I'd be interested to see a French Bachelor. What would happen there?
Oh, yeah, we didn't get any this season. Now, one thing...
They might not have one also, do they? Like, I don't know. Like, not every country necessarily has one.
So. Right. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
The people who went home, I think universally, like, you guys might be familiar with them, but other than Benoit Quits, like, we did not even learn the names of any of the, like, the other seven people who went home so far.
So Lauren was one of the American woman who went home the first night. We know nothing about her from RE season. Like, we didn't see her there either. And the fact that she showed up and, like, we didn't see her here is surprising, but also not surprising. But it's shocking because she's so beautiful. Like, who's not talking to this woman?
It's odd to send these people out and they're voted out and we don't even see any sort of discussion about, oh, we're going to vote out this person because, you know.
Right. Was there strategy? Because, like, you think, like, oh, you want to pair off, right? And that's how you get a rose. But because they're making it a Survivor-style vote out, it's almost like, wait, those two are in a pair. Like, if someone's in a pair, they have no use to you, right? Just vote them out.
Pretty much,
which, obviously, the show would never let, which is why this was, like, such a problem. The first episode was problematic. Like, there's no way they would let any real couple go home. But there's no reason why you'd vote to keep, like, if you're not in a relationship, if you're Zoe or, you know, if you're someone who is, like, not as far as we know, paired up at all, mm-hmm. you want to vote out the couples because they have no use to anybody.
Right. It makes sense. Like, I think the only one they talked about getting rid of was Josiah, who was in a couple, but it obviously didn't happen.
Well, I'm sure somebody stepped in and said no.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Eric was one who went home. Haley, were you surprised to see Eric?
I'm unbelievably shocked. Like, how did he go home the first night? This is a guy who made it to final three and was, like, one of the audience picks to be the next Bachelor. Like, I'm shocked he went home. I don't know what happened. Like, why didn't the women like him? Or what did he say something? Like, what were they thinking? Like, how did he go home? How did he get the most votes to get home?
How did Michael G stay over Eric? That's the biggest
God,
mystery.
I have no idea. Michael sucks so bad. He, like, is garbage. And Eric is so great and he's so amazing. And I just don't get it. I don't understand this stupid show sometimes.
You guys, I just realized we didn't talk about the Bachelor anthem yet.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who that woman was. Do you know who sang it?
No,
of course not. We don't know who anyone.
They wrote her name and I Googled it and it was a total blank. Google's like, no, this is not a person.
That was quite possibly the worst thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I was thinking we could go out singing it, Haley.
I'm going to have to take a pass. Thank you.
I'm going to send you guys the lyrics. Hold on.
You found the lyrics?
No.
Oh, God.
I'll rewatch the episode now. I mean, it was just unfathomably bad. And it was so campy. The whole does this show do this every week? Like, it's a 2-hour show that could easily be 90 minutes and probably squeeze in the 60. There's so much filler.
Yeah, the Canadian edition is an hour.
Yeah.
Like, the parade was a half hour. The sporting event, they, like, were showing different heats. I don't know why they needed to have different heats. They were too cheap.
And then
cheap
they glazed, like, through half of those.
Yeah.
Like, in the second heat and then the third heat.
Like, don't show it. I mean, the Olympics does that too for real events. Just, like, it's fine. Just tell
us
who
won. Just on NBC. On other channels, they don't
That's
do that.
That's true. Yeah. In America, they skip the winner sometimes also.
Yeah.
Well, if you listen to Haley and my podcast, they did not. Amy, did you know this, to talk Olympics for 2 seconds, that a snowboarder won one of the skiing medals in the Olympics?
I did see that. That was like a shocker. Did she borrow someone's skis?
And NBC went away before they before they showed it. Assumed that she wouldn't win. But Haley and I discussed her on the podcast.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
For like 10 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember it was like, I happened to be watching at that time and they like, something crazy just happened. And so they basically gave it away because they showed the clip that obviously this person pulled ahead. But yeah, they just.
Right, and they pretended to announce it live, but it was clearly not live. But I'm a lunatic who was watching it on the on like the online feed. Mm-hmm. And I was about to shut it off. I'm like, oh, well, let me see what Esther LaDecca did. She's that.
And didn't you call that too?
I didn't say she was going to win, but I said, I said, you know, it's like it's a thing worth looking out
for. Right, right, right. God, is there any more points we need to hit? Like, is there anything we forgot? Like, I feel like we're forgetting a lot.
Let's see.
I like Josiah speaking to New Zealand Allie with his hands as if like English wasn't her first language. Speaking really slowly and like going like having the way you would speak to somebody who doesn't speak English. It was hilarious.
I also thought it was funny when they made out and then her foundation ended up all over his face. Like, girl, you need to set that setting powder, setting spray, and you're good to go.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
That's okay.
Foundation.
Foundation is like, you know, the colored part. And then you put a setting powder on to bake it in. And then you put a setting spray in to hold it all in. So there you go.
I've lived with a woman for 14 years and, you know, I'm learning.
Well, let's see. We covered most of the couples. What do you think about this whole love quadrangle with Kevin, Ashley I, Bibiana, and then the new arrival, Jordan? It seemed like it just sort of peacefully they split apart and are happily in two separate couples.
Yeah, so
rare for the show.
First of all, I would love to hear, Akiva, what do you make of Ashley I?
Okay, so there's a producer in her ear every 10 seconds saying, mention that you're a virgin, mention that you're a virgin. So tell me about her, like, was she... did she go far, no pun intended, on like on one of the Bachelor seasons?
Not really.
That was a big storyline?
In her first Bachelor season, she made it about halfway through. She went out on the two-on-one day. Both her and the other girl went out. But there was a big storyline that she was a virgin. She was, like, obsessed with it. And she cried all of the time. So she came on Bachelor in Paradise, fell in love with this normcore guy named Jared. but then he didn't want to be with her. So then in her second season of Bachelor in Paradise, Jared was also there and he started dating a girl named Kayla, and then Ashley tried to sabotage it and she still cried all the time. And then after Jared and Kayla left, she made out with a guy named Wells, who's now dating a girl who's on Modern Family. But then Ashley I is like still famously like a virgin, and then she came on this show. And
do you think she really is also like, is this, because if you're trying to go on the show, let's say we said like, Amy, we're going to try and get Haley cast for Bachelor 38 next season.
Like, please don't talk about my hymen. Please don't do it.
No, we need a shtick, right? So like
that's an option.
You need to have like I have a nanny, or, you know, like I've never had a boyfriend, or I'm a virgin. Like, you need something like that, even if it's a lie, to get you cast on the show. So, you know, it's like Justin Bieber and Justin Timberlake. Sorry.
He loves the Bible.
They would all those like back in the day, all of like the late 90s. You're too young for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They all like claim virgins, and like the Jonas Brothers, which is more of your time. Like they have dirty rings, right?
Yeah. So I it's hard for me to speculate on the status of her vagina, and it's not always my place to do that.
I think she said she's so embarrassed by it.
Yeah,
she
why wasn't would you first, lie about
so
that?
She said she wouldn't have lied about it, but now she's kind of.
Like, you could also not mention it, and that, like, I'm not buying that. Like, she went on the show.
She knew to mention it would help her get on.
Right, not to go on the show, not for it to come up. Like, I feel like there's a lot of ways that it could have gone. Like you guys said, like these people have just met, and I don't know like how much they're plying them with alcohol, but there's so much. I was really taken aback by how much like making out there is on the first night or second night or wherever we're watching, like, and everyone's pairing off already. And I know, like, I know, part of it is you're fighting for airtime and you're fighting to stay in the house.
And also, you are hammered. Like, there's nothing for them to do except drink.
Right. Take away their phone. I don't drink. And if they took away internet from me for 48 hours, I would become an alcoholic. No question.
Yeah, so Ben and Ashley, I have a podcast, and they kind of sometimes they get a little too spoiler for my liking. Like probably like a month and a half ago, they were talking about this Bibiana and Ashley I liking Kevin storyline, but they couldn't say much, so it was just like very awkward. But sometimes they'll give you some behind the scenes stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they said that the events took up so little of the day that you're literally just sitting in the house talking and drinking. Like there's just nothing else for you to do, so you just make out with people because they're nice to look at. Like why wouldn't mm-hmm. you?
Right. Yeah, I guess it's boring, so you just start kissing people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it starts to look like it's a high school house party or something, that they're just their parents went away and they're like, and they oh, who's in this room? Who's upstairs? Yeah.
Yeah. We went to different high schools, I guess, Amy. Well, who do you guys think is good? Like, who do you think is getting the winner's edit? Who do you think is going to like win and pair Ooh. Off and like actually still be dating 3 weeks later?
I'd say
Leslie and Dean.
Yeah. This was kind of image rehab for Dean, I think, this season, because he was on Bachelor in Paradise, as Haley mentioned, and was going back and forth between two women even after the show ended. And he had had a really good edit on his Bachelorette season. And so I think now he's trying to revert course. So I can't see him, if that relationship takes off, I can't see it ending quickly or having any drama. I don't know if they would get voted as the best couple of Paradise, but that could be maybe.
And we don't know how you win, right? We don't know. If that is.
We have no idea. We just have no clue.
And this is literally over in two more episodes, you're saying.
Yeah.
Right.
Dean got a good edit on the beach. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Where?
I forget it.
Gosh.
Is there any chance Yuki wins?
No.
Oh. That would be like the famous, like, you know, to tie it into the Olympics, like the short track speed skating where five people crashed. So the Australian guy who's in sixth is just like standing there. It's like, oh, my God, I stink, but I'm going to win the gold medal. Like, is there any chance that she's just like the last person standing, or they give her because
I could absolutely see her ending up on Bachelor in Paradise.
That's what
I was
wondering.
Are these people eligible to go to Bachelor in Paradise?
I would think so. Right.
Like now that they've opened this door, is. Do we see
she be the next people? Bachelorette? I will watch every episode if you choose the next.
That would be pretty great.
I would love it. Yeah, I hope she sticks around.
And also, like, can they open up future seasons to non-Americans? Because, like, I imagine, like, the pool of, like, you know, like, white meat boring dudes for the Bachelorette seasons, like, because the Bachelor already happened, right? Like, you know, like, it could open it up at least by letting Canadians in, Aussies in, you know.
Well, they're like actually, we do see usually, like, one Canadian a season, like, not as across the board. Pardon?
Not as the lead, but as contestants.
No, yeah. Yep. But we have, we've had Jillian Harris as the lead and Caitlin Bristow as the lead, who are both Canadians.
They're not American citizens? I wonder why Bachelor is allowed to do that and, like, Survivor doesn't.
Because it's not technically a game show where you win money.
Oh, right. Okay, so it's not governed by any laws.
Right.
Which is why you just answered the question we had earlier, Haley, which is why, like, this show, like, compared to Survivor and Big Brother, or compared to this show, Survivor and Big Brother are, like, totally on the up and up. Like, this show, they can do literally anything they want. These contracts are, like, ironclad. They are not, Survivor is literally, like, if they rigged the game and got caught, like, the producers could go to jail. Whereas, like, in this,
and if you rig the Bachelor, like, no one gives a shit.
No one
emotionally cares about the show, and that's why we get such little like hate compared to everyone else on the Rob Has a Podcast Network, because like no one actually deeply cares about the Bachelor.
Is that true? You guys get to have the least hate?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because obviously we do get a little bit, but like no one actually cares about what we're talking about, which is a real benefit to us.
Oh, that's good. I mean, I do that too. But I mean, you almost won hate, because I'll do a podcast. I'm like, oh no, like, I guess everyone liked it because I didn't get any comments.
No, you know? I'm emotionally fragile.
Yeah, and it usually, like, the hate is never about like a take that we had on any particular contestant.
Oh, I imagine it's people complaining about your voices. That's <the hate.
laughs> you have vocal fry. Google it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
Well, should we get into some questions?
Yeah, that way I think
You guys get questions?
Great ones.
And so you're not so unpopular.
And we also have an email address too, by the way. If you want to email your long form questions to us, that's bachelorrehapup@gmail.com. So send your emails that way.
Yes.
Or and pictures of your corgis.
If you guys want Haley and Amy to make t-shirts, and by that I mean Amy, to make a t-shirt that says all the right reasons in like 10 different languages, then write in and let them know. And if there's enough demand, we'll, you know, we'll get the wheels rolling.
Yeah. Nice. I'm not sure how many t-shirts you need to like actually have a Teespring run, but
try it out.
What about three? You, Amy.
Yeah.
I'm sure at least three other people in our audience would
want. Oh, no, this is going to blow up. This is going to be the best idea I've ever had. Rob is going to get one. Okay. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, audience, let us know about that.
This email came to us from Millie. Hi, Amy and Haley. This is Millie from South Australia. I'm a longtime listener and first-time emailer. I thought you'd like to hear about the Australian contestants on the Winter Games. Basically, the two we sent are complete duds, and that is because our very first season of Bachelor in Paradise is about to air in Australia, and all the good second, third place getters are on it. The two Australian contestants did not place highly at all and are both very forgettable. You can imagine my disappointment. A little about the Australian contestants on Winter Games. Courtney came fourth on The Bachelorette, but his intentions were always questionable as he was a TV host before, so it seemed he may have been just in it for the fame, and his arrogant exit didn't win him any fans. Honestly, I'd literally forgotten he existed until he showed up here. Then I literally had to Google the name of the female Australian contestant because she is only known as the girl who went out with a fellow female contestant after Richie's season. Tiffany is her name. She was eliminated in episode 3 and then became mildly Insta-famous for dating fellow contestant Megan. Nobody believed their short-lived relationship was anything more than a publicity stunt, though. Interesting side note, that year, The Bachelor Richie chose Alexandra as his winner, who broke up with him a year later for a girl. That's three women from his season who would rather date girls than him. We had Jason Mesnick's situation on The Bachelor Season 2, where Blake picked Sam, then broke up with her for third place Louise, and they are now all single. I would have loved to see one of them on Winter Games. I was surprised that Tiffany ever thought she had a chance with Kevin. We never saw any evidence of that until the second cocktail party. I was glad she got a pity rose from whoever the hell that last guy was. That's it for me. Hope you're coping with all these added hours of viewing. I love your show. Keep up the good work. P.S. Lauren B. is definitely going to win Ari's season and solidify the most boring Bachelor couple since Chris Soules picked Whitney. All right. Millie, thank you for all that background. It's interesting to hear about Courtney and Tiffany. We didn't really talk about Tiffany on this episode because she did kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah, but you and I have talked about her story before on this podcast because that is literally our dream for every single season. We want the women to get together because we like them way more than we ever like the lead. We're like, yeah, these people, JoJo and Becca, we ship them so hard. No, JoJo had to end up with Jordan and whatever. But anyway, yeah, we didn't see Tiffany until like the very end when she sat and had a conversation with Kevin. And I think even Kevin was perplexed. Like, I didn't know you were into me because you haven't talked to me yet.
Yeah.
And then douche Michael was like, oh, I'm gonna give you a rose because I'm your knight in shining armor. Like, he's definitely the type of guy to think he's like, I'm saving you, you're welcome, let's make out now. And he's the fucking worst. Oh my god.
My only notes for them were like, because it's hard to really keep track of these. I have 26 new people coming at me, so I just wrote Tiffany goes both ways, Courtney's name goes both ways.
So thank you, Millie, for sending in some background on them. That's super interesting, super helpful. If you are from a country that people are represented on this and you want to tell us more about those people, like, feel free to send us an email. That'd be amazing. bachelorwrapup@gmail.com.
From Facebook, Casey West wants to know, why did Dean even go on the show if he was just going to be all Dean about it? He even did the exact same thing he did in VIP, where he's just lying flat next to the woman and saying, I just don't know. I don't know if I can get where you are. I don't know. You know, it's tiring.
Yeah, I can get that. I think that Bachelor Winter Games was a real rehab or an image rehab project for him. And I would say it is working-ish, but I can get your frustration with him.
Yeah.
Who's he in a relationship with?
Leslie.
They're kind of forgettable.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I think only because Dean is memorable from his past seasons.
So, which all happened within the last 6 months.
Yeah, he's a recency bias. Stephen Schultz wants to know, are Benoit and Stephen Fishback the same person?
Oh, that's good.
What do you think about that, Akiva?
They do look a little bit alike. I was like thinking like, oh, this guy looks familiar. And he really is like a Montreal version of Steven, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I would agree.
In the patron group, Humberto Daniel Urrutia Camargo. What's the deal with Dean? I hate him. I love him. I hate him. I want him in my bed. What is happening?
He's so hard. Like, that's what probably makes him an interesting character to me, is just he's multifaceted. Like, I feel like in the show, a lot of times we see one part of someone's personality. With Dean, we see a lot from him. We see some good things and we see some bad things, which makes him a well-rounded TV character. And so, and his face is nice. So that's bias right there.
Yeah. even Yuki picked up on that. That was like my favorite quote from her. Like, no, I don't care about his heart. I like his face.
I didn't understand that. Was she said, like, I don't know if they were on the same page there with the Yuki stuff. Like, everyone has a good heart. I didn't catch what she was trying to say.
I thought they were saying, he was saying, like, you have to know someone's heart. And she's like, I don't know his heart, but I like his face. That's what I picked up. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mandy Rhodes Billings. Who's Michael?
I wish I didn't know, but he's so stuck in my mind that it's hard for me to forget.
Yes. Desiree's season. Lawyer. Another lawyer.
And he was the one who, okay, so there's a guy named Ben who sucked. And he was the one that everyone in the house hated. And on a 2-on-1 date, Michael told Desiree that Ben sucked. So then Ben got broken up with, and then Michael and Desiree floated away in a hot tub. Wow. On a river.
That's really a deep cut.
I wish I could forget it, like I said, yeah. But it's in there forever now.
Susie,
my parents are so proud of me.
They are. Susie Ann wants to know, why can't the Bachelor franchise appreciate how amazing Eric Bigger is? First, he was slighted in The Bachelor and then sent home on the first night of Winter Games. Also, I propose we call Winter Games Frozen Bachelor. My mom coined the term last night, and I think it's great.
Pretty good, yeah. Frozen Bachelor is better.
Bachelor is definitely less of a mouthful.
Yes.
They also say the name Winter Games as if this is season 12. They're like, well, I'm going on Winter Games, and like, if you know, anything could happen. Like, they make it like this established franchise that's been going on American Idol.
Yeah, and if they wanted to come back next year, which I don't know. Do you think they will?
For our sake, maybe. I hope they don't, but
right. So are they just gonna, yeah, is it gonna be a 4-year thing?
I think they could do this again. The thing is, they wouldn't, if they were planning this, they wouldn't put this season, it's running concurrently with The Bachelor, right?
Right. Yeah.
And The Bachelor takes off like a huge part of the year, right? Doesn't The Bachelor off from September to January?
Yeah, so it's off from March till May, and then September through January.
Yeah. Yeah, so the ideal time for a mini season like this would be in the fall.
Or
so
even
I wouldn't be
put The Bachelor on hiatus. Like that's what we thought was going to happen, that The Bachelor was going to be on hiatus because they weren't going to burn.
How many hours a week are you guys watching of this stuff?
6 right now.
Oh, that's insane.
Yeah, you're telling me.
I mean, to be fair, like the people who watch the Big Brother live feeds, that's like one night, but still.
Right.
That 6 hours is a lot. Like, how do you keep these people together? I would be mixing up names left and right.
We don't keep them together, clearly.
But yeah, as we mentioned before, we love Eric, and not quite sure what happened there in terms of the vote off. But again, could be producer interference. Justin Feinberg, Ding Mary Kill, Jeff Probst Survivor Challenge commentary, Phil Keegan's head-to-head commentary, and Chris Harrison's Winter Games commentary.
I haven't watched a lot of Amazing the Race in the last couple of years, but I would say probably you want to marry Jeff Probst's comments because he's been at it for so long, and then Phil Keegan's because he has a New Zealand accent, and that's just lovely. And then kill Chris Harrison's because, God, Chris Harrison, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I much prefer
I've never
Hannah
seen
Storm.
American Race.
The Amazing Race.
Oh, obviously you marry Hannah Storm, but I don't think Justin's giving that as an option.
No.
Well, do we get like if we're just marrying his commentary? Do we get Jeff Probst's money?
No.
If we marry him, because then like obviously you got to marry Probst.
Probst keeps it interesting. You know, he throws in what was that lyrics of or song titles?
The Foo Fighters episode.
Yeah.
I mean, Probst is really. I mean, obviously a lot is done in post production. Probst is legitimately excellent at announcing the action. Mm-hmm. And it's exacerbated, or the good version of exacerbated, by how good he is exacerbated by how bad Julie Chen is when she has to do the Big Brother, the live HOHs.
Oh, yeah.
Like 8 levels beyond abysmal. Like, she's never seen a sporting event in her life. She doesn't understand the concept of the game. Like, she is I like Julie other than when she's announcing the competition, but like,
uh-huh. Other than when she's like hosting and doing her job and like, right. You know,
she's a literal 0 out of 10 in announcing the competition. So, and Jeff is like, that's the thing he's best at. Like, if he could only announce the competitions or like be at tribal council, you'd pick the competition. Mm-hmm. I don't know enough. Oh, Chris, and again, this is not normally what he does, right? He's never on the dates normally.
Barely.
Right?
No, he's barely on the show.
Right.
Like, Julia Littman does a total Chris Harrison screen time count on her Bachelor Party podcast. And in the last week, it fell 100% down from 2 minutes to 1 minute of total screen time for Chris Harrison in the 2 hours.
Isn't he in the rose ceremony the whole time, though?
He shows up and said, this is the rose ceremony. There are this many roses and there's this many of people. And then he leaves and then they do most of the rose ceremony. And then when there's one rose left, he goes, this is the last rose ceremony, a rose of this evening. And then he like leaves again.
What's he pulling down? What do you guys think Chris Harrison's making?
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Is he a producer on the show? Like, at this point, like, Jeff's the showrunner, like all the, you know, I imagine Phil has like a say in the show, Amazing Race, which I've never seen. So maybe he doesn't. Like, I couldn't even guess, because maybe he's bad, and that's why they only show him for a minute. You know,
I think I would be grossed out to know how much he makes per episode.
Yeah,
you know, he's the host of all of them. He hosts The Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise.
Yes,
shouldn't like a woman host The Bachelorette?
Let's not even get started on like gender roles on this fucking show.
And I feel like in Bachelor in Paradise, it's even less. I mean, he's just at the resort the whole time while they're at some sort of like, they're in their.
He just gets
tent.
A free vacation to Mexico for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about him? Is he like married? Do we know anything?
He was, but he got divorced a couple of years ago. And then there was a lot of hubbub about him being the bachelor. And then like that kind of all faded away.
What, right. Say that word again. There was a lot of what about him being a bachelor?
Hubbub. You know, hubbub.
Hublub.
Yeah. Oh,
there was a lot of hublub. Okay.
Mandy Rhodes Billings. Was it a good or bad idea to have a vote off at the first rose ceremony?
I wasn't happy with it. I didn't want anyone to go home. We just didn't. Like, you flew Zoe from China to Vermont, which is like, I know my flight from Toronto to Shanghai was 12 hours. And I know girlfriend had to have at least had a layover somewhere. And then like maybe flew into New York City and then like took a train to Vermont. Like, you literally made her travel that far to go out on night one.
Well, I didn't even think about how all those tears are probably just thinking about their flight home.
Yeah, yeah, probably like the
long
travel age.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I think losing 5 was too many. It was mm-hmm. too arbitrary that it was like had to be 3 women and 2 men. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a show on like, you know, speedy mode because it's only 4 nights. But I think there's enough on the bone here. Like, I think they thought it would be bad. And maybe they filmed for like so short that they could only squeeze 4 days out of it. But like, I came in expecting to hate it and I really didn't. Mm. And to me, it's like they definitely had enough probably for. And they still have, like we said, 20 people left. Like, they could easily stretch this out for a couple more weeks. So I think in hindsight, if they do this again, it'll probably be longer.
Yeah, you're probably
ratings
right.
Good. Like, you guys know, like, are people watching?
We have
this?
No idea what the numbers are on the show. But Mike Fleiss is always very adamant that the ratings of these shows do not reflect the numbers out of people who are actually watching, because so many people are watching in big groups.
Yeah, that's what people who have bad ratings say. Nobody's ever Super Bowl might be less because like ignore the number, you know.
Right. Yeah. Justin Feinberg has another one. Forget being too good for The Bachelor. Is Yuki too good for this planet? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely. Love Yuki.
Yeah, she's great.
Brandon Spears.
Should we watch? You guys should watch next week. Like, not because you don't have enough 6 hours. Like,
right?
Watch like one episode on YouTube of like Japanese Bachelor, because they'll probably have like the subtitles on there. And like,
maybe
the Yuki season.
She had to do something to like, you know, catch the eye of the producers to bring her out here.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I want to see what it was.
Yes. Any listeners, if you know or have the clips to send us, send them our way. Brandon Spears wants to know, did Ben earnestly say, I can't imagine anyone flipping a coin for any reason to the New Zealand guy?
As a football lover, Akiva, can you imagine somebody flipping a coin for any reason?
I remember the time the referee said it was heads, but it was really tails. stuff. Like that's I feel like that's still the greatest. I was on a cruise for that, and like we didn't have the sound. It was in like the bar on the cruise ship. So mm-hmm. I'm still confused as to what happened. That was a great comment. That like, it was a good. That's a good note by Brandon. Like I don't know why he's so shocked by it. You'd have to assume that the girl broke up with him immediately when she found that out, right?
Yeah, I think that's what happened. And then the guy, he got like a lot of heat about it after, and he's like the most hated bachelor in New Zealand bachelor history.
I wonder if they thought that episode one wasn't great, and so that's why they brought in Jordan to spice up episode two.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, he did.
That's usually why they bring in, you know, like the Hurricane Naya situation. If you guys are MTV Challenge fans, like,
yeah,
like all right, we got these people are too boring. We're bringing in a ringer.
Well, yeah, and I loved how all these contestants, we had them in their confessionals talking about, yeah, this is what I know of him. He did this. And obviously they were all fed that by the producer. They didn't know anything about any of these seasons before they were here, but somehow they all knew. You don't
think that they're fluent in Bachelorette Switzerland?
Right. No.
Like, Ben didn't even watch his own season. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, they don't even know the American.
Yeah.
For sure. I could.
And Allison Daubertine says, I'm 100% Leslie for Bachelorette if this Dean business doesn't work out. And I don't think it's going to. In or out?
I'm definitely in for a Leslie Bachelorette stint. Sign me up.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't mentioned at all who I actually liked.
Who?
Stasi. Like the only like the only sort of non English speaking country person who's still left.
Other than
UK. Got airtime. Yeah,
I like her. She's sassy. But my thing is, I don't like Luke at all. And so it's hard for me to stomach their relationship because I like her, but he sucks.
Yeah, we're not fans of him. Justin Feinberg, is the Joe Buck beard a good look for Chris Harrison? No or no?
Akiva,
yeah.
Justin told me that this question was just for you.
You know, it's the between season. Like, I get it. Chris Harrison's in like, I don't give a crap. But like,
he's got like vacation beard going.
Yeah, he was basically on vacation. They're like, hey, I think the Winter Olympics are vulnerable. Let's like counter program. CBS is doing it with Celebrity Big Brother. Like, let's do it too. The show was clearly put together in a very short amount of time. Like, all right, Harrison, like, you know, I don't care. Like, you're mid beard and you thought you had a few months off. Like, we need you back at the mother base. I think that's exactly what happened. He is not there. He's probably right. Like, first of all, that we haven't really discussed that the house or the thing they're living in, which is like the largest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's a whole resort, right? It's insane.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably living like on there. He's, you know, Harrison probably has a good life. He's having
fun. Oh, yeah. That's for sure. Especially that they bring in Hannah Storm to, you know, do all the heavy lifting.
I mean, Hannah Storm was there for probably, like, they filmed that afterwards, right? Is she commenting on every challenge, but they don't like show, they're not in the same shot. Like, they brought in Hannah Storm for one day to comment, I'm sure.
Oh, that's a good point. Ooh. I didn't even think of that.
You don't see, you don't see her on set
at all.
You're
giving us so many more conspiracy theories, yes. I think of.
That's not a conspiracy theory. There's no way that they brought Hannah Storm to Vermont for 4 days for this ridiculous show.
Right. Although Connecticut and Vermont like aren't that far apart.
That's true, but there's still no way. Like, They dubbed in there's no, like, they don't have to, they're not commenting live. Like, they dubbed in the tape afterwards. Right? I'd have to rewatch it to be 100% sure, but I'm 90% sure.
That's amazing.
That is. All right. Well, any final thoughts, you guys, on these two episodes? Akiva, are you going to keep watching?
Yeah, I knew you'd ask me that. And I think the problem for me to keep watching the show is, it's just too long. I do think I'll consider it. And like, maybe I would skip episode three and then watch the finale. Mm-hmm. I also still have the Olympics going this week, and I'll make it. We're in the trust tree, right? Nobody's listening at this point. Right. And I think there's been like 70, let's say like 65 Olympic events so far. I've watched, Haley knows, how many have I watched so far?
I would say 65.
No, 64. I missed one because I have my own schedule. Like I made up a schedule a couple weeks ago. And I one thing got postponed and I wrote down the wrong like reschedule time. So I just, and I don't want to go back now. Like obviously you could watch it, but I know one. I wasn't gonna. So I've watched 64 out of 65 Olympic events. So I don't know what day of the week it is. I don't know what like month it is right now. Right. My whole brain is mush. Like I had to spend 3 weeks researching it to write an article. And now I'm just doing it for fun. Now I can't even like tell my wife, like before I was getting paid. Now this is just like total nonsense. Now it's like, well, you know, I got to write it again in 4 years, so I got to watch it now. It's like, well, you do the math probably per hour. It doesn't work out. Wow. So I think I have the time, I do think probably watch, or at least like maybe I would ask Haley, like, hey, who won? But it I was expecting like a disaster, and it definitely is not a disaster.
Yeah. Haley, how about you? What are your overall thoughts?
I feel like there's so much more we could talk about, but I think we're just like so exhausted from it. Like it's hard to even come up with anything else. Obviously I enjoyed it. It was fun. It's just, it's in the slog that is the season of The Bachelor. It's always nice to have something like fun and exciting. The reason I love Bachelor in Paradise is because we get to see so many different relationships form, and in The Bachelor we're really focused on one central person with like a bunch of relationships forming around them. So I love getting to see 22 different people interact with, you know, each other and from all around the world. It's really been fun to see more or less like a Bachelor World All-Stars. So that's really fun. And I would be interested in seeing them do something like this again, preferably not at the same time while The Bachelor is running, but I'm really enjoying it so far.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's an interesting mix of Bachelor Pad, Bachelor in Paradise, and to see some of those familiar faces that we enjoyed watching come back and then get some new faces in there. I think maybe I'd like to see whether it's a smaller core cast that stays the whole time, or like two people leave each week so that we can get to know some of them better and not have some of these people not be shown so much. But I'm interested to see how it all plays out. So with that, thank you, Akiva, for joining us. And where can people find you?
First of all, thank you so much for having me. You know, I was annoyed at Haley when I found that it was 4 hours, but
that's why I didn't
I'm
tell
no
you.
Longer mad at her.
Good.
I think she told me, but I wasn't really listening. They can find me at KEEV26, Keeve26 on Twitter. My podcast, 32 Fans. We discuss sports every week. It's really a football show. So in the football offseason, which has now started, we rank things every week. So it might be a sports ranking, like 100 greatest quarterbacks, might be the 100 greatest TV shows of all time. I think this offseason, we're also picking the greatest television episode of all time.
Oh, cool.
We're going through a bunch, like in addition to whatever we're talking about in the podcast, going through one episode a week of like classic TV shows and rating them from 0 to 10. And also go to deadspin.com, find my Olympics article and click refresh a bunch of times. So if it gets like 150,000 views, you know, that would be.
Nice. You don't have to read all 10,000 words. Just like.
No, don't read any words. Just click the pictures. Refresh like 4 times and then exit out.
Scroll down to the comments to see what other people think. And then
people are nice. People are nice.
Yeah. Okay. People are really nice to you on those articles, aren't they?
Yeah. Although in the thing you're supposed to write, when you make a list on the website, you're supposed to rank, like, let's say it was like my favorite ice cream flavors. So it's like 1 vanilla, 2 chocolate, like 31, you know, a cookie dough. The cookie dough wouldn't be my 31st.
It would
be
How dare nice. You? Cookie dough is number one.
And then like, let's say 32 was like mint chocolate chip, which is disgusting and a hate crime. Like mint chocolate chip is disgusting. And so 32 would be getting hit by a bus, and then 33 would be mint chocolate chip. Mm-hmm. But you're supposed to put getting hit by a bus second to last, and I forgot, and I didn't put it in 2 years ago or this time. So people were worried about that.
And Haley, where can people find you?
You can find me all over the internet, not on those sites that you have to pay to access, but, you know, the free places. You can find me covering Top Chef regularly every week with Mike Bloom and a rotating bevy of wonderful guests. We just did a newly host game show today. So by the time you're listening to this, that might be up. And we also did a video version, so you can tune into that and see what color lipstick I decided to wear. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at @RHAPRecapper. Thank you, everyone. And we will be back soon with a podcast about Ari's next episode. So see you then. Bye.
Bye.